What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is the Jabberjaw Podcast Network.
What's up, everybody? I'm Ray Harkins, and I am the host of this beautiful podcast called 100 Words or Less, in which we are talking about independent music, whether it's talking to people who are playing in bands, contributing creatively on that side of things, or whether it's like record label stuff, photographers, authors, whatever you got, I want to speak to, and I want to dive deep in with them on why they care about this beautiful thing so much. A lot of beautifuls today, right? But we're doing a little something different this week. This was actually a, in my opinion, spectacular idea by my good friend Joey Cahill, who many of you know appears in the show frequently. But he, you know, me and Joey and Jeremy always do a year-end episode where we talk about all our favorite records. Today, we're going to be going back in time. We actually, we've been doing these lists for, forever. Like, you know, since the early 2000s, when we were all nerding out about music and working at record stores, we would always come up with our best of lists. And we recently tripped across our old lists. I have mine archived in nerdy places, in notes and stuff like that. And then Joey and Jeremy found theirs. And Joey was like, it would be funny if we like revisited our list and talked about it. And I was like, that's a spectacular idea. So we decided to go, roughly 10 years in the past and look at our best of 2007 list. And it was really interesting. We had a lot of fun conversations about it. So that's what we're going to do in a minute. And hopefully you enjoy it because we had a ton of fun. And hopefully, too, it will, provide some, records for you to go back in time and listen to, or if you've never heard of these bands in general, it's a cool place to start off with. So that's what we got. And let's get some, I always say let's get some business pleasantries out of the way. I don't want to get them out of the way. I want you to pay attention to these things because I find them valuable and I think you should check them out as well. One of them is our online web partner, noecho.net. They pump the show and I love their site. They do great, great work over there covering punk and hardcore and doing deep dives on both of those things. So yeah, check it out because if you like this podcast, you absolutely will like that website. So please check it out. And also, rockabilia.com. I've told you once, I'll tell you again, I'll tell you until you buy your first piece of merch, which, by the way, you can get for 15% off at Rockabilia by using the code PC100 words or less. That's the whole name of the podcast. So yeah, use the, and the number 100, you don't have to spell out 100, but use that code and you will get 15% off. And why is Rockabilly awesome? First of all, they've got over 500,000 items on sale for there. It's officially licensed. So when you are buying it from them, you know that the band is getting paid. It's not this crappy bootleg stuff that you see on Amazon or other companies where you're just like, oh yeah, I don't know about that. I actually had a great piece of listener feedback when I was talking about Rockabilly. I think it was either a week or two ago. They hit me up and were like, hey, that's the only place that I've ever got an official Orchid shirt. And I was like, oh, Orchid? Wow. I did not know Orchid had, a merch availability on Rockabilly. I don't think they do anymore. So this guy obviously got it a couple years ago, but it goes deep. So whatever band you are probably into or are just discovering in the first place, you will dive on there and you will find rad shirts, sweatshirts, long sleeves, coffee cups, like whatever it is you want, they got it. So please visit rockabilly.com. Tell them this show sent you PC 100 words or less. And then you got a nice little discount there, right? Okay. So yeah, I don't think there's anything else about Rockabilly. Yeah. You should just go there. Okay. Please. And I've been recording a crapload of episodes recently. I've been going out to shows recently, just hung out with Chris number two from Anti-Flag, which will be a future episode, and saw them play with Stray from the Path. And it was a it was an amazing show. I'm so excited that those two bands are touring together because, you know, both of them are politically engaged and active. And it was just great to see that energy in a room, because sometimes that, you know, I forget that this beautiful independent music scene is so vibrant with a lot of, you know, revolutionary thinkers and people who are dissatisfied with the way that the government is running. And I forgot. And it was nice to be in a room with all of those like-minded individuals. So, you got some great episodes coming up. Okay. And if you want to hear who's on next week's episode, you got to stick around very end. I talk about it. So that's what we got. Here is us hopping in a time machine, traveling back to 2007 I'm trying to think of how to phrase that. So we are traveling back in time, but with 2018 glasses on. So I don't know, but it's fun. So listen to it and enjoy. And I will talk to you after the episode is over.
So this is exciting. Joey, you need to set this up for the audience listening at home, because when you emailed this idea over, I let out a little squeal. I'm like, this is a great idea. So what are we going to do today, Joey?
Every once in a while, I have a gem. because we're such dorks, we all have our lists from previous years and thought it would be fun to go back and revisit said lists to see what would change, if we've even listened to those records since then. Spoiler alert, I can tell you they're records I have not listened to since then. I think it'll be we're gonna do our top 10 from 2007, which was a very different time.
Yes.
than now.
I know. I was trying to think of all of us. So like 2007, Touche obviously existed. I was playing in Makoto. Joey was obviously doing 6131 and still living in California. And
did Touche exist?
Touche started to practice. Like, we started getting people to, like, I think it was me, Tyson, Z,
Matt Moody. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, Matt Moody for like one practice. but that was like November 2007. So I still count our band starting at the first show, because I feel like you're not a band until you've recorded and you've played a show.
True story.
So I was, 2007, part of the year I was living in an apartment with.
Oh, that's right.
But I was also back at 613. Was I back at 613? I either moved out of 613 for a while in 2007 or I moved back to 613 in 2007 for a while.
Yeah.
I was helping out at Bionic occasionally still when they needed people.
Nice.
That sounds right.
Yeah, that tracks. I had been out of 613 for about 2 years because I was married by in 2005. Yeah. And I was working, I think, yeah, 2007, I was still working at Century Media. Yeah, for sure.
Abacus still around in 2007? Because I left in 2006.
No, I think that was, yeah, Abacus, when that rolled back into Century Media, then yeah, I basically was just like, hey guys, like, I can still have a job, right? And they were like, all right, I guess we'll bring you back in. That was like, I just remember this, the most awkward conversation where it was like, well, Ray, you're really nice, and I don't really know if we have a job for you, but let's try it for a few months. I was like, thank God, I don't know what to do otherwise.
Jesus.
I know. So that's the, yeah, that's the, I appreciate the idea, Joey, and this is going to be absolutely hilarious, because I'm sure there are records, like when I was going through my list, there was definitely records that was like, holy shit, I forgot how much I liked that at the time. And it's not like it's bad now, because I definitely revisited some of them, but there's definitely an element of like, oh yeah, this was a very hot and heavy 6 months that I listened to this record or whatever. I'm sure it's the same as you guys.
And to paint a picture, this is when MySpace existed, and these were posted on MySpace, and I did not have these, and I had to, it was like a month long, like wait and see, trying to track them down from MySpace just to get this list. So like I wrote about each record. I think, you know, yeah, as you'll find out, I think we were a lot meaner.
So I forget, Ray, does yours have the like quote next to it, like the write up about it, or just Joey and I?
I edited my list down. Actually, you know what? I should look at that, because I'm sure there are definitely moments like you guys were talking about where I wasn't obviously mean to my top records, but there were times where it was like,
no,
yeah, just taking unneeded shots at bands for no reason.
In 2007, I did a top 25.
I did top 20. Yeah.
Well, and then 12 honorable mentions.
10.
I legitimately don't think I listened to 37 records in 2017.
Right.
Yeah.
It's funny. I'm looking at my list and I'm going, Jesus Christ, really? And like the 10 to 20, there's like one or two on there. I'm like, I do not stand by that. And then some of the honorable mentions, I'm like, yeah, those should have been in the list. Well, what's going on?
We'll get to this. Hold on. I'm going to confirm something really quick. It did come out in 2007. My favorite record of the last 10 years came out in 2007, and it is nowhere on my list at all.
Oh, my God.
I think I must have heard it in 2008, but yeah, it is not on my list.
Wow.
And it is my favorite record of the last 10 years.
So you just, that's amazing. You just completely like retroactively should have had that record on there.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. This also has top 7 inches.
Yeah. When
was the last time you thought to do that? Jesus.
I included 7 inches in my best of. My number 6 is a 7 inch.
Wow. I love the fact that we had to delineate, because I mean, I think I did a top 14, but I think the previous year, 2006, which was a list that, you know, I know all of us couldn't find, 2006, I think I had like 30 records, and I had, you know, honorable mentions and like best EPs, and it's like, dude, what the fuck were we doing?
Yeah, for real. I also just, while finding this, I found my 2004 list, which is insane.
I think that's the farthest back I go.
2005, and then I'm, yeah, 2005 and 2006.
Well, if you want to know my top 30 records for 2004, oh my God. I love it. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Yeah. I was going to say, I won't divulge into this podcast, but in my top 5 disappointments, 3 of which I now have relationships with. So
of 2007?
Yes.
I love that.
Can we talk about our worst of? Should we save that, or should I?
No, you can throw it out there if you want to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm going to talk about it in the podcast, but
you don't have to. Joey can throw it out there.
Well, I just think one of mine, and I still stand by this, one of my worst was the first Gallows record.
Mm.
Okay.
I was I'm not very nice about it, and I do think it was boring, but we ended up doing a Gallo 7-inch.
Yeah, you did.
7-inch we did was great, but I did not like their first record.
Moral of the story, opinions oddly change.
Yes. Cartel self-titled. Next time you go into a bubble, come out with a good record.
Oh. that's almost too easy, though. That was like, that record was destined to suck.
I have Against Me New Wave is one of my worst records for some reason.
Oh.
And I just don't stand behind. Well,
This is a great segue. Let's just start the 10 because I'd be willing to start because my number 10 record is Against Me New Wave.
That's perfect. I forgot that came out.
My like write up about it. It's just like I really like half the record and the other half was okay. So I don't think I didn't like it, but I listened to I think I like that record a lot more now than I did in 2007.
Yeah, it aged well for you.
So my write, I feel like we should say our write ups just to really show the. So here we go. My Against Me New Wave write up says, yes, it's on a major. Yes, it's not punk. Yes, it's overly produced. And yes, they're sellouts. All these things taken into account doesn't change the fact that this record is awesome.
Dude, I think all of us took the same notes for writing these what we thought at the time were like super punchy, you know. Oh man, yeah. There's like it's like even before we really knew what pull quotes were, like we wrote in those that fashion, and it's so funny.
Yeah, it's pretty mean, but the record's sick. I actually did a podcast recently with Dan Ozzie and David Anthony, and we were talking about, and Against Me got brought up in that conversation, and they were all shocked that I stand so high by New Wave.
That record's, the record's great.
So good.
I think the songs that I didn't were okay are the songs that I like more now. Like The Ocean was a song that I was like, nope.
Yeah, like, it's a great song.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's like, the more time I've spent with that record, I think my opinion has changed.
Yeah, the song Stop is bad. That's a bad song.
Yeah, Stop, take some time to think. Oh yeah, that's not good.
Yeah,
I agree.
Very Franz Ferdinand.
Oh, dude, I didn't even. Oh my god, I didn't even think about that in that context.
Yeah, that was that era.
Yeah, totally was.
That was that era. Word. Ray, what was your number 10?
My number 10 was, and I stand by this because I actually just saw the band for the first time earlier in 2017, Alcyist, which is like a French black metal shoegaze band. I saw them last year at the basement of a old bank in Long Beach. The Federal, I think it was called. I can't remember, but I'd never been to a show there before. But yeah, this is where I discovered this band, and they're unbelievable. And I still, I stand by this. And there's nothing funny, I think I said in my write-up, so... shoegazer black metal. Who knew a thing like that existed? But I reveled in it. Great thinking music. What the fuck am I doing?
God. Oh, Christ.
I know. All these are going to be so. It's like, it's almost like looking back on your lyrics from your demo. Just like, oh gosh. what's your number 10, Joey?
Between the Buried and Me, Colors.
Whoa. Okay.
Not a record I've thought of in a while. I have nothing against Between the Buried and Me. I don't listen to them as much as I used to. My write up is crazy, straight crazy, and that's.
You dug deep there, Joey.
Yeah. I was like, "Fuck, I'm tired. I've got 30 more of these to do."
Right. I love it.
Oh man,
we're gonna kick it to Joey. Who wants number 9?
Well, don't we do I do number 9 and then we pass.
Then you snake it. So yeah, you do number 9 and then throw it around.
My number 9, which in 2017 would be way higher than number 9, is Rilo Kiley, Under the Blacklight.
Oh yeah.
And I do say this record would be a lot higher if it wasn't for the song Dream World,
which is my favorite song on that record,
which I still think is the worst song on that record. But Yeah. Over the years, Rilo Kiley, I think genuinely has become in my top 3 to 5 all-time favorite bands, and I celebrate the entire catalog, and I love this record.
What was your write-up for it?
This record would have been a lot higher if it wasn't for the song Dream World. Wow, it's bad. It's funky. I said funkier. It's funkier than their past records, but just as awesome. Rilo Kiley should put out a record every year. I stand by that. Rilo Kiley should put out a record. Or at least play a show so I can see them again.
Under the black lights, or under the bright light. Black lights? Bright lights. Black lights.
Black right? lights.
Yeah, Under the Black Lights was my number 11. And I'd say, Rilo Kiley is the new Fleetwood Mac. That would be higher on my list, but The Moneymaker is the worst fucking song of the year.
I hate that song.
Dissenting opinions. I love it.
Yeah. So
what do you want? Who are you going to throw it to, Joey?
Right.
Okay. My number 9 record is, I completely forgot about this band. I hadn't listened to it in, probably 10 years. This band called Irreversible. They put out this record called Sins. It's like these Atlanta hardcore kids did like a ISIS ripoff, and it was so goddamn good. And I just remember being obsessed with it. I remember trying to like talk to them to sign to Century Media. It was just so good. And I was like, oh, this band's going to become huge. No one heard of them outside of Atlanta. So I was like,
never heard of that in my life.
Honestly, I bet you if we brought this up to like, the Foundation dudes or any of the other Atlanta hardcore kids, they probably would be like, oh, that band was great. But like no one knew about them outside of Atlanta. And I don't even know how I got keyed into them, but they were, really, really good record. So
never even heard of it.
Yep. There you go. You guys would both probably listen to it and like it now and be like, oh, wow, this was good. It's like, and it came out in 2007. Yeah. What do you got for number 9, Jeremy?
Number 9, Bayside, Walking Wounded.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm. Have not really listened to that band in quite a long time. I stand by Bayside where like, they're like an Alkaline Trio where they can write the same song 100 times, but for those first handful of records, it was a really good song. Then I got really just kind of tired of it. But I wrote best Bayside record next to the acoustic release. From start to finish, this thing rules. Sure. I wasn't thinking too much on that one.
Right.
Bayside's one of those bands that like, if you would have told me 10 years ago that they were like this legacy band or going to become like this, I don't think I would have believed it.
Nah.
Like, sure. Good for them.
Yeah. They just somehow hung out.
I don't not like them. They're just a bit, they're fine. They have some good songs and good records, but like good for them. Like,
yeah, they've done it. They've totally done it.
Yeah. Yeah, for being a Smoking Pope's Alkaline Trio mishmash and somehow finding their own footing in that it's cool. Good for them.
Yeah, good for them.
Do I do my number 8?
Yes, sir.
Number 8, The Weaker Than's reunion tour.
Wow, I don't know why I did not put that on my list. This is...
Didn't make my list. Not even my five or honorable mention.
I know. I think this is definitely going to show us one of two things. Like, one, there are certain records that obviously we like much better over time, as Joey illustrated initially. And then, two, that there are, you could easily find the place to replace them in your top 10 list.
So I wrote, not as strong as the previous releases, but just as enjoyable. My favorite lyricist of all time. I still stand by that. I stand by that write-up.
And I think that's why it didn't make my list, is because it is just, I've grown to like it more over the years, but it is, I don't want to say worse, it's their least great record.
Sure.
Over the years, I've grown to like it more. So I would put it as my third favorite of the four. And I think Fallow is now my least.
That's fair enough. I can get behind that.
I've definitely appreciated this record more over time because it just didn't have the immediate impact on me. And then now it's like, sure. I find myself reaching for that or, Left or Leaving when I want to listen to the Weaker Than's. Like, I need that fix.
As you've matured, with that record.
Oh, yes. Right? Yes. I would say so. Matured is a very good word, Joey. I think John Sampson would appreciate the maturity of all of us.
Joey, what was your number 8?
Cool. This record is good. Have not listened to it since 2007. St- Steel Nation's Soul Swallower.
Whoa! What the? Wow. That came out Eulogy? Yeah, maybe?
Double or Nothing? Was it Double or Nothing? I think it was Double, maybe Eulogy.
That was like, that was a subsidiary.
If it didn't come out on Eulogy, it should have come out on Eulogy.
So true. So true.
This band was the biggest surprise for me at this year's This Is Hardcore Fest in Philly. They're definitely one of the best newer hardcore bands out right now. They're coming out here in February. It's going to rule. Spoiler alert. I did not see them in February
2008. I was going to say, this is so good if we have predictions for the future, because we could totally do an audit on those. I love that.
I mean, Steel Nation was great, but
Wow.
I don't know. Awesome. I don't know. I mean, they're from Pittsburgh.
I know Code Orange is down.
Oh, I didn't even know they were from Pittsburgh. Yeah, I don't even think I'd listen to that record.
Nope.
There you go. I got to get into it. Let me keep it up.
I thought that record was better than Bright Eyes Casadega, which is my number 15.
Dude, that's even better. Oh my gosh.
That's kind of the funniest thing, when you're seeing things that you put lower and then you're like, why the fuck was that so low and this thing was so high?
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah.
My number 8 was, and I totally stand by this, like this record a lot still, Polar Bear Club. Sometimes things just disappear. That Polar Bear Club is definitely a band that has been completely forgotten by time. Like,
a band, sometimes things just disappear.
Sometimes things disappear, including the reputation of this band that was supposed to be, you know, like the second coming of Christ. Like, I would definitely compare it to the Ascendancy, you know, maybe a little less, or maybe a little more slow, but like, you know, the Gaslight Anthem, where it's like, you felt like Polar Bear Club was like on that trajectory, but yeah, it just didn't happen for them.
Man.
I haven't listened to that record in a very long time. I honestly don't even know if I have a copy of it anymore.
Ooh, brutal.
Yeah, I'm thin in the herd, right? I got too many records.
I'm with you.
I understand.
I still have the Red of the Better. That record's great.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't listened to it in a while, but yeah.
Yeah. It's a really good record, but yeah, there are certain bands where it just kind of, you know, you shed a single tear where it's like, oh man, like that was a great time seeing them. I remember seeing them at the first time they came out west. I think all of us were at that show.
You should have played that show, if I'm assuming it's the show you're talking about.
The Glasshouse Record Store, right?
We played that, yeah. That was one of our first shows. That was like in our first 12 shows.
That show was awesome.
That show was amazing. Yeah. It was so much fun.
Played that? Was it Broadway Calls?
Broadway Calls, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Speaking of bands that time has forgot.
Who, man? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Remember we were trying to sign them, Joey? To Abacus? Who? We were trying to sign Broadway Calls to Abacus, I think, at one point. Before they signed Adeline, maybe? I don't know. I just remember. Whatever. all right, my number 7, and I actually had a discussion about us doing this podcast with the members of this band, and they appreciated the fact that I still like this record. The Thrice record, the Alchemy Indexes Volume 1 and 2, which I think was Fire and Water, right? I think those were the first two that came out. Yeah.
Well, it's, yes, because it's on my list later.
Okay. Yes. So yeah, I think it was Fire and Water. And those songs are, those songs are amazing. The fact that they did what they did of just, you know, hey, we're going to take an element and we're going to write songs directed at that element. That's still crazy. Like that could come out in 2018 and people wouldn't even bat an eye. People would be like, oh yeah, I'm into it. So way to go, Thrice.
Good job.
Jeremy, what do you got for number 7?
Number 7, Trap Them, Sleep Well, Deconstructor or whatever.
Right.
This is a good write-up. You ready? Most pissed off thing I've heard since Cursed. Fucking pissed. Anything with upside down crosses wins for me. And there's about 50 on the cover.
That's good.
I remember my old band played a house show with them in like one of the Carolinas. And I was just like, what the fuck? And I remember liking Backstabbers, but not knowing that it was like the same people and all that sort of stuff. And a funny side note, when we played that house show with them, Scuba was not in the band yet, but he was doing merch. And that's the night I met Scuba. And now we play in a band together,
nice.
Fucking 11 years later.
A common theme on these lists as well are bands that I tried to sign at one point too. I tried to sign Trap Them, and then they went to Prosthetic, and it was like total.
Deathwish. Would it have been Deathwish? Well,
Yeah.
Or is that on?
I'm trying to think. Well, if it's 2007, Sleep Well Deconstructor, I think that came. Did that come out on Deathwish, or was that Trash Art?
No, the Sleep Well came out on like Trash Art or whatever that was.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So it was later that I tried to sign them to Century Media, but then they chose Prosthetic, and then they didn't really do much, and I was like, oh, okay. Well, thanks for putting out good records, guys.
Who's Joey? Yours?
Yep.
This one's tough.
It's tough,
dude. You just went through Steel Nation, okay? You're good. You're doing fine.
Say anything in defense of the genre. Oh.
what makes that tough, Joey? Walk us through it.
That record sucks.
not very proud of that pick.
There, I mean, whatever. I don't. I think I've outgrown Say Anything, and I don't even know. I don't remember listening to this record a ton.
You felt obligated for some reason.
I don't know why it's on my list.
Maybe because you liked all the guest appearances.
That can't be true.
I'm gonna divulge this. This was one of my disappointments. And I said, still hasn't done anything for me except intimidate me with how many goddamn songs there are.
Oh, that's so good.
This is my write-up. Jeremy may have shown me the spoiler alert and spoiler alert records, because I don't want to give those away because they're coming up. But he doesn't, quote, get this record.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I don't think I got that record either. That doesn't appear anywhere.
Funny side note, though. Know who produced that?
Who? Bradwood.
Bradwood. Mr. Bradwood produced that, which is crazy. Small world. Small world in the end.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different things that stress us out, right? Like maybe it's something really, really small, like, man, that parking space, it's always taken. And I wish that I would be able to like get it instead of, you know, this person that maybe, you know, is the most courteous and considerate. I know that's something very random, but it's true. We all experience different things throughout the day that trigger us in so many different ways. And there are many times where I have been like, I wish that I had a spot or a repository for me to, you know, get this stuff off of my chest. Because if you bottle it up, that is no bueno. And then all of a sudden you explode on a coworker or a friend or a family member being like, the parking spot. And people are like, what are you talking about? That is where therapy comes in. And I love working with BetterHelp because I'm a huge advocate for therapy, broadly speaking. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, please give BetterHelp a try. It is so easy because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire, and then you get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you are not vibing with the therapist for any reason, you can switch it out at no additional charge. Get things off of your chest with BetterHelp. So visit BetterHelp.com/Ray today to get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/Ray.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
SeatGeek. Why do I got to tell you about SeatGeek? Well, for one, because they're incredible. And for two, just because, you need to be in the know. So SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to literally every type of live event possible. Whether you're hitting up that last minute deal or you're looking for a perfect gift for somebody, SeatGeek will help you find the best ticket at the best prices, absolutely fully guaranteed. Trust me. I've used this service many, many times before. I'm going on a trip in about 2 weeks to Milwaukee, and I bought two sets of tickets on there, one for the Milwaukee Bucks, the professional basketball team, and then I'm also seeing Bon Iver up there do a 10-year anniversary show for Emma forever ago, which I can't wait, and I bought both of those tickets off of SeatGeek. It makes it so easy because it gives you grades on the seat, like a color-coded thing. Red circle means don't buy it, not a very good deal. Green means yo, go for it, do it. And it's designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. And plus, every purchase is absolutely fully guaranteed, so you can shop with confidence. You don't need to be scared that you're buying some like scalper thing. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports to concerts to comedy. And best of all, I will give you $20 off your first ticket purchase through SeatGeek. So please use the promo code WORDS and download the app on your phone. Super, super simple. Use the promo code WORDS and you will get $20 off that first purchase. That's right, $20. Basically, I'm taking you out to a show, giving you a night in the town. $20 off. Use the promo code WORDS off your first SeatGeek purchase. Please do it. SeatGeek's amazing. I love it. Thanks for sponsoring the show, guys. Now, here's back to 2007.
Ray.
Well, you did. Was that number seven for you right there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, then do your number six.
Oh, I was the last. Sorry.
All good, man.
Number six. This was my 7-inch, Blacklisted, Peace on Earth, War on Stage.
Oh,
great 7-inch.
Great 7-inch.
Yeah.
Do you put that
That's
on?
It.
Yeah, do you put that in the top 10 list? I don't know. Apparently you do.
I put Friday's Cassidy at number 15.
That's
besides my favorite record of the last 10 years. Of the records that are on my list, Bright Eyes Casadega at 15 is the one where I'm like, that's interesting. That's a little lower than would have expected.
Sure. Well, yeah, especially too, it's like there's certain. Like I said, I had 14 records listed, but I didn't have them in any numerical order. Apparently I was just like, whatever, dude, numbers are irrelevant when it comes to lists. And so there was a certain, like, I editorially eliminated the Yaesu Conqueror record. Cause like I went back and I listened to it and I was just like, yeah, this record was okay. But the only reason I put it there was because it was Yaesu. And like, I worshiped everything that Justin Broderick did at that time. And so I had no filter from that perspective. So I'm surprised you didn't have that for Bright Eyes, Joey. Way to go.
I don't know. I listen to Casadega all the time now, like a lot. I really like
that
record. Yeah. I listen to it more than Blacklisted, Peace on Earth, War on Stage.
and it's a full length.
Yeah. all right, Ray, what's your number six?
My number six is the Red Album by Baroness, which I completely stand by. I still am obsessed with that band and love everything they do.
So far, your list, if this was if you read this list as your 2017 list, you're like, oh, that'll kind of make sense.
Right.
Yeah, everything tracks. Have you had anything embarrassing yet?
No, there's nothing embarrassing. Like even, I didn't feel like I took any, like misses here. I was like, every single one I revisited and I listened to and I was like, okay, yeah, like this was fine. So yeah, I didn't have any, I mean, I did edit out a Patton Oswalt record, The Werewolves and Lollipops, but that was like, you know, it's not like it's a bad record, but I'm like, what was I doing putting a comedy record in?
Comedy album, yeah.
It's kind of weird.
Comedy records were 2007 versions of dreamy soundtracks.
Oh, that's true. I was going to have at least one or two in there.
I guess, I mean, mine, I wouldn't say mine isn't, I guess mine's not embarrassing, but it's just like, I guess the order, I'm with Joey, the order of mine is a little confusing where I'm like, oh, I definitely do not stand by that in that placement anymore. But
oh yeah, that's probably true. And that's why, like, yeah, the Yaesu record, I had it like, you know, if I was numbering them or in the order that it appeared, that was like quote unquote number two, but I was like, oh, like, I don't know about that, but yeah. But
sure.
Nothing. Nothing I said funny in the write up. I just said I'd be spinning it well into 2008. I was about to say 2018. But
yeah.
What's your number six, Jeremy?
Number six, Fake Problems, How Far Our Bodies Go. That was their first full length.
Oh, and, yeah. You wrote hard for them and still probably do.
Well, yeah. I mean, those are still two of my really close friends, and it's been awesome to see Chris Farron continue his path into everything. But I wrote, this is not me being biased because their guitar player is like my little brother and the other members are great friends. It's due to the fact that this band is full of incredible songwriting, great lyrics, and some of the catchiest songs you've ever heard. They deserve the world and more. That's what I wrote. Nice little thing there.
That's sweet.
That was a record I never really got that into that record. But I don't remember the full length after it, The Ghosts? Is it Ghosts? What's
the... That was the third record. The record after this one was like the very like cabaret-sounding record.
What's the one of with the person like jumping in a pool?
Yeah. That's Real Life Ghosts or whatever I think it's called.
That record's incredible.
That record's really good. I think that's what it's called. Hold on. Now I'm Googling because I... Real Ghost Caught on Tape, that's what it's called.
Oh, yeah. I think that's when I liked all of their previous stuff just because, you know, you enjoyed it so much and I listened to it because of that. But I think that record is what really got me. Oh, yeah, like this band's totally totally a thing and totally great.
Yeah, the record in between those two was the It's Great to Be Alive record. And that's the one that's like, it's very, very all over the place. Kind of like cabaret songwriting, but...
The name of the one you put... what's your 2007 one called? I don't even remember what that record.
How Far Our Bodies Go. It's the one that was on. It came out on
Sabo Productions. Yeah.
Wow. And then they decided to sign one.
Yeah. This was like.
I'm looking at
that record.
Yeah. Cool. Good times.
Yeah. So do I say my number five?
Yep, you're good.
Number five, Two Gallants, self-titled.
Oh, you worked hard for that band.
You did.
I love that band. I still buy everything they've put out. Even the singer did a solo record, which was a little surprising considering they were a two-piece. I don't know if there's a bigger fuck you to the other guy than doing that. But yeah, I always love that band. Yeah, that band's awesome. I said, this two piece knows what the fuck is up. Everything they put out is pure gold.
Dude, pure gold. That's like the best. We throw that statement around all the time. Pure gold.
Yeah. Pure gold, man.
I never got super into them, but I saw them once at South by Southwest. Like, it must have been whenever I went like mid-2000s.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. Like that was the only time I ever saw them, and they just played some weird bar, like away from the nightmare of South by Southwest.
Sure.
And it was great. Like it was still one of the better memories I have from going to that.
I know it's always easy for one of us to be like, hey, you should really like revisit that. But like, if you guys are bored enough, revisit any of their first three records. But the self-titled one, the one that I put on this list is like unbelievably good.
I never gave them the time of day. Yeah, I was aware of their existence. It came out on Sub Pop, right? All their records?
No, Saddle Creek.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. They were on Saddle Creek for like the first three or four releases or something like that. Or no, the first record came out on this other random label, but then like this, What the Toll Tells was the first one on Saddle Creek. But I remember they did a tour with, like, it was like that era of like sort of the weird alt folk stuff, where I remember it was like the Weaker Thans, Two Gallants, Lucero, and like Murder by Death or something like that, which is like, holy shit.
Heavy hitters, man.
That is the most 2007 tour I've ever heard.
Yeah, exactly. That's like something like that.
That's like a Kickstarter backed tour in 2018.
Yeah, it's very wild. Very, very wild. Ray, what was yours?
My number five record is you guys remember that band? Editors. Remember that band? They sounded like,
oh yeah. My number 21.
Nice.
Kind of Interpol-y sounding band.
Oh yeah, actually, yeah. Well, the record is called "The End Has a Start," and great segue, Jeremy. Let me go ahead and pull up my, here's my write up. Yep, I like Editors better than Interpol, and then in parentheses, at least this year. So yeah. that record, I remember I saw them. I think my friend was working at the box office of the House of Blues Anaheim. She like calls me and she's like, hey, you really like Editors and this show's sold out, but I have an extra ticket. And so I just drove down and saw them and they were great. And then after this, they released another record a couple years later that was pretty terrible. And then they rode off into the sunset. And I was like, oh, okay. But yeah, great record.
That record is still
totally
very good.
Totally.
I mean, like I said, I'm going through and trimming the fat from my records, got to my E's. I did not get rid of that record.
Hell yeah, dude. Yeah, it's a good.
I'll give it another shot. I'll give it a shot with 2018 ears. I remember when it came out, I was like, I already have Interpol. I don't need another one.
I just always framed it like this. They're just like a more poppier version of Interpol. You know, like they weren't afraid to lean into all the choruses and, you know, the traditional songwriting structure. They just did that, in my opinion, you know, better than Interpol did. Interpol, you know, had the mood and they had their own version of catchiness, but Editors was like, hey, you want like a killer's version of Interpol? How about Editors? What's your number five, Joey?
Coconut Records, Nighttime.
Dude, Jason, you and Jason Schwartzman hanging out.
This band is Jason Schwartzman from those movies. Sure. And it used to be in Phantom Planet. Well, this is better than Phantom Planet and some of his movies. Sure. Do yourself a favor and find this record now and immediately listen to the song West Coast. You'll be instantly hooked. I stand by that. That song is incredible.
Yeah.
It's actually really good.
I think every trailer house in Los Angeles also agrees with your, like, for like 3 or 4 years, everybody used that in television shows and movies.
Do you have that on vinyl?
I did.
Did you? Oh, I'm so jealous, man. That thing goes for hundreds of dollars.
It's very expensive.
Yes, it did.
That's why he no longer has it.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, it was one of the things where I was like adding my records. And I didn't realize what it, like, I think it was just like a record store day release or something. And I was like, well, I don't need this anymore.
Wow. It was the Nighttiming record too. Wow. Damn.
It was a picture disc, like in like a dust, like an actual, but it was in a sleeve. It wasn't like in a picture disc sleeve, had like full art.
Yeah.
And it was, and honestly, the only reason I sold it is because some kid hit me up about it. And was like, it's going to be the 10-year anniversary soon. Like, it's probably going to get reissued. Like, well,
good point.
I'll take a few hundred dollars right now, and if it gets reissued, great. If not, oh well.
I don't know if you guys are with me on this, but like now that there are so many records are being reissued, I'm at the point in my life where I'm like, I don't care about really necessarily having the first press of a lot of things. Like, as long as I just have it on vinyl, I'm happy.
Oh, I'm the same way.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, especially, too, it's like with reissues, how in-depth they're getting, if they're doing new liner notes or new art or whatever, it's like, oh.
Or remastering it.
Yeah, totally. Or it's like, yeah, I think my favorite is when they, you know, it's like a single LP and then they make it a double LP and, you know, they include like demos or what. It's just like, that's great. Why would I not buy that and have the superior version?
Totally. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's another way we've matured for the last 10 years.
I think so. We're willing to spend more money on vinyl. Oh, wait, that's not maturity.
That's not maturity.
Ray, what's your number five?
Oh, I did number five. You go to your number four.
So stupid.
It's fine.
Number four. My number four?
Yes, sir.
My number four is Manchester Orchestra, I'm Like a Virgin Losing a Child. And my write-up is somehow I missed this in 2006, but thankfully it was re-released in 2007. That's cheating.
Yep.
That's absolutely cheating. Yeah, yeah.
I would do that now, but in 2007.
Yep.
Well, hey, dude, you bucked all protocol the moment you added a 7-inch to your top 10. So
exactly. Yeah.
But I, yeah. even though this was 2006, I stand by that.
Joey,
yeah.
Joey's number one. Gorilla Biscuit, start today. Just found this record. Really good.
Oh, man.
All right. I mean, now throw it away, Joey.
Jeremy.
Get ready to be jealous of my life, Joey. My number four, Bright Eyes, Casadega.
God damn.
All right. I wrote, talk about having to dig deep into an album to find what you're looking for. I listened to this record over and over on tour, trying to get my full opinion. And I finally realized that, me trying to understand it was me being obsessed with it. Kudos again, Connor. So there you go. That record's great. I feel like it's the most underrated for sure.
Yeah. I was going to say, the electronic one, but I don't ever listen to it. North can remember what it's called.
Digital Ash, Digital Learn.
Digital, yeah. That's become my least favorite record, I think.
Oh, that is hands down my least favorite record.
Yeah. I remember liking it a lot when it had come out, but with obviously the I'm Wide Awake, but obviously I'm Wide Awake smoked it completely. Yeah. But I was always just like, yeah, you know, Digital Ash is good too. And then just over time, I'll like, you know, come on random in my car or something. And I'm like, yeah, it doesn't hold up as well.
I tried to listen to it not that long ago and just was like, I can't do this. But whereas Casadega, I kind of wrote off, hence why it's number 15. And yeah. Have been listening to it actually a lot over the past few months. And yeah, I think it is very underrated in the Bright Eyes catalog.
It was the sober record. It was, you know, I'm going to rehab and doing that. So like it should by all means be like, oh man, this is going to be bad. He's sober now. But it, you know, it somehow wasn't.
Yeah.
Do you guys just want to turn this into a Bright Eyes podcast? I'll just leave real quick.
I would love to.
I still ride hard for the like six songs that he did on like imports in like I don't know it, they're like they're so good, like there was these two imports like
about singles,
yeah, and they're yeah, they were so good. And I just remember like I like him and I just don't ride him as hard as obviously you guys have, but yeah, I just love those. You know, it's like it's so weird when you get into a band with like a certain random song and then you're just like, that song is the best, and then it's hard for you to ever like let that song go even though they continue to put out material. It's just some stuff gets stuck in your head, you just can't let it go.
Well, for sure. Like I always kind of like never got, I was like pushed on getting into Bright Eyes, like I was just like, I'm not into it.
Yeah.
And then I heard on a mix that someone made, they put Calendar Hung Itself and Something Vague, and I was like, all right, if these two songs are on the same record, then I'll buy this record. And they are on the same record. And then it was like, oh, I'm an idiot. Like,
yep.
Yeah,
totally. I remember one of the biggest regrets that I had missing a show was the year that Fevers and Mirrors came out. It was the same sort of thing. Someone was like, you got to buy this record. You're going to love it. And then I got it, and I remember having a hard time getting past track one because it's like 15 minutes long or whatever. I mean, in retrospect, it's not 15 minutes, but
you know, it felt like it. Yeah.
Long intro and then a very slow song and then like whatever. It just didn't click with me right away. And that week they were playing the El Rey with The Faint and Cursive around the time that was the same time Dance Macabre and the Sink or Swim EP from Cursive was out, and I didn't go to that show. And then I realized that show about a month later, once I was obsessed with Bright Eyes and was kicking myself for like the next couple of years. So then when he came back with that Lifted record in whatever 2003, I remember going to like four nights in a row.
The amount of times I saw Bright Eyes tour for Lifted was
right.
Hey Jeremy, did you come with me to the, I think it was for Casadega, when
they did like Bright Eyes shows before Casadega came out, and he played the El Rey.
He had long hair.
And he pretty much played, I think he played the whole record and then just like at the end a few like of the hits.
Yeah. That was very strange. That was cool.
Yeah.
All right, sorry. We'll stop talking about Bright Eyes now, Ray.
No, it's fine. It's okay because Taken.
Bright Eyes.
Taken was supposed to be play with Bright Eyes at Shea Cafe with By a Thread as well, and then Taken had to cancel.
What?
Yeah. Oh, dude. He played. This was pre Fevers and Mirrors. It was like a couple months before, and I saw him at the Shea Cafe. He was great, and By a Thread played, and they were really good. But yeah, Taken was supposed to play because that's when I was going to school down there, so I had a hookup at. Shake Cafe, so they'd kind of throw us on whatever show, and I was like, hey guys, let's play this show, just because I wanted to play with By a Thread, and then like, you know, we canceled last minute, you know, feeling really stupid, but it was a great show.
I just can't believe there was a Bright Eyes even By a Thread, like,
that sounds like
the classic promoter, like, oh, double booked it, fuck it, throw them together.
Totally. That's like every early 2000s show that was not at like Showcase or Chain Reaction. It was like, oh yeah, well, like I said yes to both of you, so sure, how about you play together?
It was like seeing Against Me at Shea with like American Nightmare, or like they played one of those Shea Fests where it was literally
we played that day. We played with Against Me on that day of Shea Fest or whatever, and it was like, what is this? What?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
It's wow. Great. That's great.
What a time to be alive.
What a 15 time.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Where are we at now? Did you number four, Jeremy?
I did number four.
Oh, now
Ray, what's your number?
Okay, this is an embarrassing, but it definitely is a record that I have not really paid attention to. You guys remember that band It Prevails? The record's called The Inspiration.
They've been a band for that long,
dude. They've been a band since like 2005, maybe 2000. Yeah,
I don't think I ever cared.
Yeah. Actually, funny you say that. Here's my description. I feel like I may be the only one really getting into this band, but it's a simple Shilud Misery Signals inspired hardcore record that kept me hitting repeat. And
didn't they become like a Rise, like do on Rise, like do all right?
Their first record came out on Rise. This record came out, they released it themselves because they were like, I don't know, fed up with Rise or something like that. And everything they've done ever since, which is like one EP and maybe one other full length, I can't remember, has just been they've self-released it. But yeah, their first record came out on Rise. And the only reason I found out about it was because someone sent it to me and were like, hey, they think Taken in here. And I was like, I don't even know who this band is. What, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah, yeah, it's like total melodic, like Shai Hulud, Misery Signals, exactly. So it was a great record. So way to go, guys. Now you've all done your number four. Now I'm going to do my number three. This one, it's kind of weird. I just would never ride hard for this band, but Silver Sun Pickups, Carnavas, I think that's how you say it.
That's their first or second record.
I think it's their second record. My write-up was, again, another record I was very leery about based on how much hype it had been getting. But lo and behold, people still like good music, which that's not true at all. But yeah, I just remember really liking that record. But I've never seen them, even though they've played many shows. Obviously, I could have had an opportunity to see them, but I don't care that much, I guess.
I think that is their first full-length. Because okay. I really enjoyed their second full-length.
Oh, okay. What was the second full-length called?
Swoon.
Oh yeah, that was a yeah. Oh yeah, so this first one, it's yeah,
like Smashing Pumpkins, kind of right.
Yeah, for sure. I just remember this record being like, you know, again, it felt like everyone under the sun was like, oh my god, Silver Sun Pickups, like, dude, next best thing out of L.A. And yeah, they were hot for a minute.
Yeah.
I never caught that train. I remember it happening and just being like, okay. I never bought the record, but everyone always liked it.
Yeah. And I think this record and probably a lot of bands that fall into the same sort of genre where it's like, there's, you know, I would never have ever thought about speaking to this record now to anybody being like, oh, this has a lasting impression on me. It's like, this is something that I listen to probably hot and heavy for 6 months and then it just kind of fades quietly away. And then maybe I'll recognize a song later and be like, oh yeah, that was a good record, but never anything I'm going to, you know, get on a soapbox and say, you need to listen to this thing, even though it's my number three record.
Right, for sure.
Joey, what's your number three?
Thrice, Alchemy Index, volumes 1 and 2.
Nice.
Yeah, don't really have anything else to say. Kind of, you covered it. Thrice is great. This was a pretty, yeah, like you said, a pretty crazy idea that panned out very well.
Yeah, they've done okay for themselves.
Yeah, and I think volumes 1 and 2 are better than volumes 3 and 4. But
yeah, yeah. I think I kind of got into volumes 3 and 4 later, like, you know, whatever year or so after. I remember liking them a lot more. But yeah, the immediacy of 1 and 2 is definitely felt.
Yeah. Cool.
Jeremy's number three.
My number three, Coconut Records, Night Timing. I just read my write up and I have a comment on what the fuck I was thinking. Are you ready for this? There's a few things wrong with the sentence. Take your favorite parts from Belle and Sebastian, The Beatles, and Rilo Kiley, and throw in some extra musical genius in there, and you got this record. First off, the Beatles were second between Belle and Sebastian and Rilo Kiley, and then extra musical genius. Like, I painted a pretty big picture there for Mr. Schwartzman.
Yeah. My head hurts with all the ingredients you just put in there.
Yeah. But, yo, it does kind of sound like all three of those things put together. But it's funny because, like, it's pretty obvious that Belle and Sebastian and Rilo Kiley are just heavily influenced by the Beatles. So probably could have just left it at that. But that record's awesome. I hope they do re-release it. But that's one of the things I hadn't thought about in a really long time. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you do yours.
My number two?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I have a feeling this might be on someone else's as their number one. That's going to be my guess. But my number two is Tegan and Sarah, The Con.
Mm-hmm. No, not mine.
I have a strong feeling I might know whose number one this is. But Yeah, I what did I say? I never gave a shit before. I always. Oh yeah, I'm not gonna read that sentence. yeah, this is a very, that's very unwoke. there. But basically, yeah, I remember Comadre always really, really liked that band, and I was always like, really? And then I picked it up, and yeah, I understood why everybody liked it so quickly. I still stand by that. It's probably my favorite record from them, and it's the only one I ever really gave a lot of attention to. But yeah, there you go. Tegan and Sarah, the con, number two.
Number dose.
Joey, what was your number two?
My number two is Jimmy Eat World, Chase This Light.
Ooh, that fell just out of my edited top 10.
Which I actually listened to this record about 2 weeks ago, and it'd been a long time. This record's fucking great.
It's good, man.
Like, it really is a good record. And this record is so close to being number one. Before this record came out, a bunch of demos leaked. Then there was a song in those demos called Be Sensible. This song is incredible. For some reason, it didn't make the final version. Had Be Sensible been on this record, it'd be my number one. I don't know if I stand by that, but Be Sensible is legitimately one of the best Jimmy World songs that it's only on, like, a European single, like a CD single. It's not on Spotify, like, it's not online anywhere. And that song is fucking unbelievable. And hands down was the best song from this session, but it didn't make the record. But, yeah. Chase This Light is great, and I saw them tour off this record a bunch, and Jimmy World's the best, and yeah.
They're very good, Joey. Great band. We have to say that because we have tattoos of their lyrics on our bodies.
It's true. Yes.
true. Number two. Yes, my number two record is, and I love this record still. And I didn't listen to it in a long time. And then once revisiting it, I was like, oh yeah, I see why I did this. That band Attack in Black. You guys remember them?
I remember seeing the CDs. Didn't they have like an EP or something? I don't remember anything about this.
Canadian was on, Dine Alone Records. This record was called Marriage. And this was basically like, I just always compared them to, a more sort of punk version of the Weaker Thans, where it's like they just had, the whatever Hot Water Music vibe mixed with the, lyricism of the Weaker Thans. But yeah, this record rules. It's so goddamn good. And I love it. I never got to see them, though. I think I might have seen them when they were like touring off their demo, when they were just like a bad pop punk band. But I guess they got kind of popular on the East Coast of Canada, but nothing that ever I don't think they really made any sort of impact in the States. But man, that record's good.
So I just looked up their Wikipedia. And did you know that one of the guys in the band, produced City in Color?
I did know that. Yeah. He also, he tours occasionally with City in Color as well, like as a guitarist.
And it says some of his notable visual work includes designs for M. Ward, Ben Queller, Lady Hawk, and City in Color. Look at that.
Multifaceted art. Multifaceted artiste.
Oh, man. Ray, is it your number one?
I think it's my number one. And I am not ashamed about this record at all. The Blonde Redhead 23. That record's so good. And I think this is what like made me fully into appreciating Blonde Redhead. Cause before I just kind of, dipped in and out, but this record, just made me pay attention to them. I've seen them twice now and both times. It's great. So yeah, I love this record. Way to go, Blonde Redhead.
What was the record before this called?
Oh man, you're gonna make me have
there was like red, like a reddish cover.
Yeah, I know what you're talking.
That was the first record that like
Melody of Certain Damaged Lemons.
Yeah,
it's like a black and red cover.
Yeah, that was the record that I was like, oh, this band is really, really good. But then, 23 was like, I feel like maybe a little like the most like accessible.
Yeah,
a long time, but like I feel like it was catchier.
Oh yeah.
But still.
I need to listen to Blonde
Redhead. I completely missed the boat. I think I was always, that's for people who go to the smell. That's what I always put Blonde Redhead under, but I'm sure I would appreciate it now.
You absolutely would.
Oh, dude, if you listen to 23, you would just be like, oh, yeah, like this could easily come out today and everybody would be like, oh, yeah, this is a great record. Because it's like, I don't know, basically, to me, it would sound like what Will Yip has built his recording career off of. Like just the sounds, wow. Yeah, the sounds that they get, and it's amazing. The band's super great, and I would agree, Joey. This record definitely made them. I think it's by far their most popular record, as far as you know, got people into them and stuff like that. So, yeah. Well, you should retroactively check that out, Jeremy. I think it would be up your alley.
I will.
How about your number one, Jeremy? What do you got?
My number one, I'm a cheater like Joey. Manchester Orchestra, I'm like a virgin music chap.
Wow. I thought you made fun of him, but I guess not.
Yeah, come on.
I know. I kept my mouth shut. I was like, so I said, this is me cheating. This came out in 2006, but got re-released in 2007. So I say it's fair game. I haven't been this obsessed with the record in a couple of years. If you haven't heard it, go buy it. That record's fucking awesome. I did revisit it recently and I was like, yeah, this is still really good, but I actually like their other records more now. I think they just kind of like are, you know, more, you can hear the youth in this record as opposed to the new records where you could tell like they've become incredibly good songwriters.
What's your favorite record of theirs?
That's tough. I don't know. It's tough to say. I don't know. Because they're one of those things where like I kind of collectively like all of the records in their own way for their own reasons. Like some of them have some of my favorite songs, and then you know, one record I might not listen to as much, but it has like two songs that I fucking love. So it's tough to say. Do you have a favorite?
I think Simple Math is my favorite.
I feel like it has
there's just something about that record that I don't know if it's because it's like the first time I felt like they're really like going for it maybe, or and it was like it's
the production is
catchy
insane.
It's quiet, it's heavy, like there's just so much to that record. And to be fair, it is the one Manchester Orchestra record that Nicole likes, so okay. It's the one we listen to the most, so that's it's like even though it's what 9 years old now, no 10, no. 7 years old, whatever. It's like still the freshest in my head. Like it's the one we like that gets listened to the most.
Yeah. I mean, Everything to Nothing, I also listen to quite a lot, but yeah, I mean, Hope, Cope, all that shit. Great.
Did either of you guys check out the soundtrack that they did? The Swiss Army Band soundtrack?
Yeah.
That was good. It's very good.
Yeah. Unbelievably good.
I'm actually surprised that they are. I mean, I haven't heard of any of them doing. I'm sure they're working on some projects, but like nothing. I totally thought that was going to be kind of a trajectory that they were going to be able to head towards. Because I mean, that soundtrack got so much press, so many so much mainstream attention. You know, probably like I mean, I maybe wouldn't compare it in the same way that like Survive or Stranger Things or anything like that. But I just felt like that was a kind of a trajectory they could go on.
I mean, the fact that the whole thing is all done a cappella is
unbelievable.
Insane.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
Not to fucking name drop, be cool guy, but around the time they were finishing the production on that, they came to LA, Robert and Andy, and we all went out to dinner, and he was showing me iPhone videos of like Paul Dano singing in the studio, like over it. And he was like, so theatrical, even in the studio, like kind of singing along to it. You could tell he was like in character. It was like the coolest thing to see. And he was just, it was wild too, because I think it was debuting at like Sundance like the week later, and they were in LA like finishing the mastering on it. And it's just like cutting it so close.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. But yeah, that soundtrack is awesome. That movie is phenomenal.
So good.
It's very good. Yeah.
Joey?
Well, you called it. Number one, Tegan and Sarah, The Con.
That's good. And that's good.
I'll talk about my true number one in a second. My write up is, yeah, there isn't a record I listened to more in 2007 than The Con. A few records I listened to on repeat. This is one of them. The song The Con is probably the catchiest song of the year. It's constantly in my head. I don't know. Fuck everyone who doesn't give this record a chance. I don't think that was an issue.
Yeah, I think that this kind of captured people into their fold.
And then, yeah, like I wasn't a fan before. This record changed everything. I now celebrate the entire catalog. Office Space, anyone? Blech. Like the most cringy.
Oh.
Just.
Oh
yeah.
Wow.
MySpace. Different time. Yeah.
I thought you were typing. I thought you typed Bleck after.
No, that's me reading it and going.
Okay, that's good.
But yeah, this record is phenomenal. I saw them last year when they did like the Con 10 tour, and they did like an acoustic version of the whole record, and it was unbelievable. It, like just to hear those songs again, because they play a few of them still, but like to hear the whole record. And like reimagined was really cool. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. But I will, if I could redo this,
yes.
My number one record for the last 10 years has been Kate Nash Made of Bricks, and it is nowhere to be found. But it is hands down my favorite record for.
You know what's weird? Is that, yeah, you and I both like that Kate Nash record, but Kate Nash is also not on my list, but Lily Allen is one of my honorable mentions.
Whoa, wow.
Lily Allen, number 11 of my honorable mentions.
Number 9.
Record. But like, the Kate Nash record I loved came out in August, and that I wonder if it came out in August in the UK, and it didn't come out over here till later. And so maybe like, it didn't really get into our, like in our faces until early 2008.
Yeah.
But that's the only reason I can assume it's not on my list.
Yeah. It's crazy. This could be fun. You guys all have, you had what, a top 30? That what yours was?
No. I only had 14 this year. My top, that was like 2004. I had like 30 records, which was stupid.
And you don't have honorable mentions or anything like that?
No, I kind of draw. I mean, like I had like the Patton Oswalt record. I also have the Go It Alone. Okay. I have the Go It Alone Histories record. So,
yeah. Okay, got it. I was going to say like, fucking my. If I, I'll just read off what my 11 through 20 without going into it. But like 11, Rilo Kiley under the Blacklight or whatever. 12, Hot Cross, Risk Revival.
Oh, okay.
13, Decemberist, The Crane Wife. 14 Poison the Well versions, 15 Chuck Reagan, Feast or Famine, 16 Building Better Bombs, Freak Out Squares,
POS, yeah, that's right.
17 Gaslight Anthem, Sink or Swim, which would be higher now, Arcade Fire, Neon Bible, 19 Jonah Matranga, and I completely forgot about that LP.
Whoa.
And, No Effects, they've actually gotten worse.
Legit.
What would your through 20 be?
11, Internal Affairs, Deadly Visions. 12, The Hives, the Black and White album. 13, you ready for this? The Rocket Summer, Do You Feel?
Holy shit.
13, Down to Nothing the Most. 15, as we've talked about, Bright Eyes, Casadega. 16, yeah. Shipwreck Abyss. 17, A Fine Frenzy, One Cell in the Sea.
Whew. What the fuck?
Yeah.
18.
What?
I was just going to say, well, I mean, if there is one thing Joey has shown throughout his maturing music taste, you put a female on stage with some microphone and a guitar, Joey will probably like it.
To be fair, she played the piano.
She did. But yes,
that is me. 18, Thursday, Kill the House Lights. Cheating. 19, yeah. MXPX Secret Weapon. 20, wow. I got 25. 20, Block Party Weekend in the City, Stand By It. 21, Editors. 22, 50 Lions, Time is the Enemy. 23, wow. Dashboard Confessional, Shade of Poison Trees, great record.
Nice.
24, The Once Soundtrack. 25, Arcade Neon Bible.
Dude, The Once Soundtrack.
One soundtrack is so So time and place. Oh, my God.
So melodramatic.
Yeah. Oh, I will add that I also have that Rocket Summer record in my honorable mentions. In the write-up says, if Hanson had a new record, but it was a tad bit more respectable.
Yeah, but who's still around, huh?
Yeah, oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
Jesus. In my 7 inches, I have the Ampere Dytro Split, Coalesce, Salt the Passage, Trap Them, Seance Prime, Manchester Annuals Tour Split, Ceremony Scared People, Pride Swallower, Life Swallower. Remember that band? Did you ever listen to them?
I do remember that band.
Like members of Code on Armada, but it sounds like Nirvana. Super good. And these last two, I definitely just needed to, I don't know why I put them on here. The Get Rad split with Protestant. Like, I don't listen to that. That was me lying.
Right.
And then Outbreak Only Crime split. I probably listened to that once just for Outbreak, but yeah, who knows? Do you know what? We were so expensive. Joey, did you put movies on yours?
Not this year.
Dude, 2007 was an incredible movie year. Incredible. Like, I remember that was my favorite year of the Oscars because my two favorite movies just swept. It was No Country for Old Men and There Will Be Blood.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I think there was a podcast on The Ringer not too long ago.
Yeah, 2000. About, you're right.
2007.
Yeah, 2007. Yeah, like I have No Country for Old Men, There Will Be Blood, Darjeeling Limited, Hot Rod, The Ten, Control, Hot Fuzz, American Gangster, Grindhouse, 28 Weeks Later.
Great
year for movies.
Pretty good. Some of those I'd throw out of there, but that's okay.
Right. You'll appreciate my number two on honorable mention. Stacey Clark, Apples and Oranges.
Oh, shit.
My write-up, Pop, She's Going to Be Huge. Guaranteed.
Dude, I definitely appreciate that. And that, yep. Hey, we all three of us have had large hands in making careers of bands, and that's why we are as successful as we are. we are obviously, like, people call us like the new, you know, Dr. Dre, Jimmy Iovine. Like, that's just what we do here, guys. We just break bands. We just break bands and break artists.
Yeah.
I had the only record that I cringed on my list where I was like, oh dude, like the Go It Alone Histories record, it just does not last. It does not hold up very well. Yeah, it just fell flat. It was like, yeah, I don't know. And honestly, I think I only put that on there really because I liked the Only Blood Between Us record so much that I was like, oh, this one has to be good. And it has to make my list.
Oh, man. Well, shit, that was fun.
Dude, that was right? that was super fun. I'm glad I'm glad that we did that. Way to go, Joey. Way to go. And we'll just, we'll keep doing these every so often. Best of... 2008
as long as it's not 2008 or 2009, I'm all in.
Oh,
those have vanished. MySpace. I must have gotten rid of my MySpace in 2008.
Yeah, I think we all did.
Yeah. Well, I never made my MySpace to begin with, Joey.
You're so punk.
So punk. Well, thanks, dudes. This was fun. So that is 2007, the best of revisiting in 2018 and making sure that our music tastes have not evolved whatsoever. But I think it was, it was a fun experiment, and we are for sure going to be doing it again in the future with some of our older lists because it's just fun. And sometimes you don't reflect on how much your music tastes have changed until you're looking at a list like that, like right in front of your face. So that's what we got for this week, obviously. And next week is of course, a good episode, right? Because why would I bring you a terrible episode? Next week is a three-peat guest, Buddy Nielsen from Census Fail, an old friend of the show, old friend of mine. They have Census Fail's a new record coming out. Buddy hits me up and is like, "Hey, man, I want to talk about the record. I want to, you know, give an update on my life." I'm like, "Of course, I would love to do that." So we talk about some pretty heavy stuff: having kids, life, expectations, just, you know, really pontificating on a bunch of stuff. And so, I look forward to bringing that to you. So
No other
news or notes other than, you should pay attention to my band Taken. We're going to be releasing an EP in late April, and it'll be fun. So more details will be released as you are required to know them. Anyways, please be safe, everybody. Okay? I'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to the Jabberjaw Podcast Network, jabberjawmedia.com.
The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Trust me in saying that no matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all of the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.